I tried to live 20 lives at once. Now one is plenty. What I love about Ravi Shankar's poem, in addition to the beautiful use of language, is the way he describes his more youthful self-esteem, raised on wobbly beams. There was a time when he was trying to be everything to everyone, when his desire to prove himself to be wanted and admired meant that he tried to live 20 lives at once. But now one is plenty. When it comes to self-esteem and to self-identity, there is a part of me that reaches for the wisdom of the Tao Te Ching, which says in part, when the master or the sage governs, the people are hardly aware that he exists. Next best is a leader who is loved. Next, one who is feared. The worst is one who is despised. Similar to Socrates' dictate that one is only wise when they know what they don't know, it seems clear to me in my experience that the more one blusters and preens, the more one tries to show others how great they are, the more they are covering a hole in their heart, the more they are driven by a sense of lack and a need to prove themselves. Do you know anyone like this? When Ravi Shankar says, now one is enough, he implies a wisdom, a peace, that comes when you accept yourself for who you are. When you stop trying to prove yourself and instead accept yourself. When you stop trying to get other people to love you and instead love yourself. Today I want to talk about self-love and self-esteem in defense of the selfie and how it's you I like. And I want to be clear that I'm not talking about bravado, but its opposite. I'm not talking about the shallow waters of narcissism, but the deeper well of one's own sacred soul. Not about being better than others, but being the best version of yourself. And I want to talk about this idea in three different manifestations, three ways that loving yourself, your deep and true self, can help to transform the world and make your life better. Putting yourself in the picture. Nevertheless, she persisted. Love unbounded. Let's start with putting yourself in the picture. As is my habit, I didn't figure out exactly what I was going to say today until I was running on Friday morning. I pick the readings, and Tim and I pick the music weeks ahead or months ahead sometimes, but I don't really know what the sermon's about until I'm running on Friday. And so I was thinking about selfies and what to say, and I thought of the post-run selfie. There is a word for this, I found out. It's called the run-fee. Run, selfie, repeat. That's the tagline page, run fee, and you can post your run fee. There's no duck face allowed in the run fee. Sweat and exhaustion and pride, these are allowed. I love the essay in defense of the selfie and the sentiment. I wanted to remember that I was there. There are two different kinds of selfies, I think. The desperation selfie, look at me, please. And the I was there selfie. The one that says, this is my life and I'm glad to be in it, what Robin was talking about this morning. I think most of the time it's pretty easy to tell the difference, right? When I went to Israel last summer with a little encouragement from my friends, I remembered to take some pictures with me in it. That I was there, not just that I took pictures of other things, and of course not in the sacred places or the museums or such, but here on the beach in Tel Aviv at the start of my trip, the one on that side, and there on the same beach at the end 12 days later. I was there. I asked folks to send me selfies, and some of you did. When I say love yourself, this is what I want to get at. There's a story behind each of these, which I won't tell. In your personal life, to love yourself means to love yourself as you are, for who you really are, not for someone else who once upon told you who you were supposed to be. In this, I want to take a clue from those who have been through a life-changing experience, who have had their identity taken apart and had to put it back together again. I'm thinking of people, including many of you, who have gotten sober after years of addiction. I think of people who've gone through the death of a spouse or gone through a divorce. I'm thinking of people who are survivors of cancer, heart attack. I'm thinking of people who have survived crime, robbery, assault, and worse. When you go through an experience like this, as so many of us know, it is disorienting. You lose the sense of yourself that you had built. You have the mask stripped away and see yourself as if for the first time. To lose your sense of identity is deeply traumatic. We might feel lost at sea. Our roles change, and when we are mostly our roles, when we don't have a core sense of self, this is very hard. The ancient wisdom of the Jewish tradition and the advice that I give to anyone going through something like this is to do nothing major in your life for a year and a day. Don't make a major decision. Don't sell your house or get married or get divorced or change jobs or so on and so forth after you've already had one major identity shift like this. Give it a year and a day. During that time, do little things. Start new habits. Eat well. Exercise. Spend time with family and friends. Give it time. Your identity needs to settle. Then after that year, more often than not, something will happen. With some effort on your part, you will start to figure out who you are. Who you really are. Not the role you've been playing, but the person at the heart of you. You might do what makes you happy. Live for your own expectations. Be in your own life and be glad to say, I was here. You'll grieve the losses of your life, but not be defined by them. Be in relationship with others, but not be controlled by them. Be yourself. And I hope you will love yourself for who you really are. And if you find yourself at the end of a run or on a walk with your beloved through the park or traveling to a place you always wanted to see or gathered with your relatives for a holiday, snap a picture. But make sure you're in at least one of them. 2. Nevertheless, she persisted. If we're going to talk about loving yourself, not the shallow love of narcissism, but the deep love of dignity, then, well, we're not just talking about what is necessary to live your own best life. We're talking about the kind of self-love it takes to change the world. You have to have a deep well. You have to believe in your bones that you have dignity and worth and the right to speak, even if you've been warned. Even if you've had it explained to you, when nevertheless you persist. Who are you to change the world? Just sit your pretty head down, says the world, says those who wish us to be lemmings, who wish us to think so little of ourselves that we give up. Let me tell you the names of some people as a sacred kind of roll call, some people who loved themselves so much they refused to lay down and die without a fight, who stood up and said, I count, and the people I love count. We are worthy of rights and equality and freedom. Harriet Tubman, Frederick Douglass, Cesar Chavez, Linda Sasseur, Elizabeth Cady Stanton, Harvey Milk, Philip Randolph, Mahatma Gandhi, Edith Windsor, John Lewis, Elie Wiesel, Ruby Bridges. I think this one's my favorite. That's Ruby Bridges. Can you think of some other folks? Bet you can. Every victory for justice has been led by people who believe themselves worthy of justice. Oh, they had doubts. You better believe it. Nights of despair. But they did the work not because of their hate, but because of their love. Because of their love for themselves, too. Because they knew in their bones that the message of oppression, the message that women's lives and voices didn't matter, that black lives didn't matter, that Muslim wives don't matter, that gay lives and loves don't matter, that Jewish lives don't matter, that immigrant wives don't matter. These people who loved themselves enough to persist, they knew in their bones that those messages were bull. Well, you knew what they knew. They knew those messages were wrong. And so even though they were warned and explained to, they persisted. Some lost their lives in their persistence, but they persisted anyway. And the struggle is not finished. And so I ask you today, are you ready to persist? Are you ready to love yourself enough to fight for justice? Not just for you, but for everyone. Are you ready to respect and to follow those who rise up for justice, those whose lives are on the front line, which is some, but not all of us? Are you ready to love your neighbor with every fiber of your being? There's a saying that the problem with the instruction to love your neighbor as yourself is that many of us don't love ourselves very much. And this is too true. And our consumeristic, capitalistic, colonialistic empire wants us to hate ourselves, to think we're not worthy of justice. So we have to buy something to make ourselves feel better. Just take as little as possible space. Not fight back, but we say that we know better. I want you to love yourself too much to sell your soul. I want you to love yourself too much to settle for scraps. I want you to love yourself so much that you will stand up for the integrity of your body and your choices and your dignity, that you will ask for help if you need it. I want you to love yourself so much that it overflows to all your neighbors and strangers and friends, to everyone. 3, love unbounded. Pour your love unbounded into me. Those activists, most of them, didn't just love themselves as an act of personal affirmation. They loved themselves and fought for justice for themselves and for others because they knew that God loved them, fully and completely and without hesitation. That God loved the downtrodden and the lost and the oppressed. They rested assured in this love and prayed to feel it and pour your love unbounded into me. And feeling it, had the strength to carry on, to rise up and begin again and be themselves. Look, this is complicated. I could and have preached to you more than one sermon about this. Asserting the love and the care of the holy for our own being can quickly become troubled by the reality of suffering. It's a complicated theological puzzle. And we wonder whether our analogies of feeling states for a mysterious force are adequate or appropriate. And of course, many of you are not just unsure about divinity, but quite unconvinced. And so I don't want to press too hard here. But I can also report that many of us have felt, at times in our lives, a sense of deep self-worth, a sense of being loved, of being held, of love pouring into us from a source that is somehow holy. St. Augustine said, "I felt restless until I rested in you." And there is something here about knowing that we have value deep down, that we are connected to all that is, and we rest in a wider love. Whatever language we use to describe that. If you sit under a blanket of stars and feel so overwhelmed by eternity and yet recall that you are made of that stardust. If you feel the music swell and the goosebumps on your arm and something washes over you, maybe it's an old song, maybe one that touches your soul. There's a reason Christians start by teaching each other the song, Jesus Loves Me. It gets in there. Maybe you're sitting in meditation and loving kindness becomes not just something you practice, but a reminder of who you are and that you are one of the beings for which you hope for peace. Maybe in your chant for the seasons, you remember that the earth, the goddess, our home, is made for life, yours included. Maybe you call it the Holy Spirit, and maybe you call it wonder, and maybe you don't call it anything but silence. But I've felt this, and I know so many of you have. These moments of awe, these moments of transcendence, these holy moments when you are loved beyond belief, beyond understanding or language, beyond everything that is limited, when you are loved as you are, as you were made and meant to be. Loved as you are and loved into the best version of yourself. This love, this sense of connection and wonder can be overpowering. We might wonder, who are we to be loved? Self-denial is sometimes easier, a more well-worn rut. Yet deep down, I think you know the truth. That you are a child of the universe, a child of God, a member of the human family. And you are capable of loving yourself and loving others. You really are. Dig deep and start small. Breathe in that love that is larger than fear. Persist. Make sure you are in the picture. Our particular Unitarian Universalist tradition affirms these truths in this way. The Unitarians said that God meant for us to use our human gifts, reason, understanding, compassion, and caring, to understand the world and the holy. This was our claim 220 years ago, that we were not miserable sinners, but beautiful creatures. And the Universalists at the same time said that God's love was infinite, so large, that no one was left out. You were loved beyond all limit. You are loved. So love yourself with deep assurance. Let your light shine with equal love for others, especially those whose society tries to deny. Let your light shine. With respect for yourself and with passion, let your light shine. Stop trying to live 20 lives and let one be plenty. Your true and honest self. Let that life shine out from your heart to brighten the world this day and every day. Let's rise in body or spirit. We're going to sing together, This Little Life.